Turn in your Bibles then with me to the book of Matthew. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, to help me to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit today. Interrupt me, Lord, if you will, to deal with some things that's happening in your family. Lord, just use me for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You've probably heard many sermons, perhaps probably sung many songs about the kingdom of God. When you recite the Lord's Prayer, you're asking that his kingdom come. But what did Jesus mean by that? Today we talk about nations and countries. Perhaps this concept of a kingdom seems strange or foreign to us, but the Bible does speak of it throughout the scriptures. John the Baptist and Jesus began their ministries by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 2, and chapter 4, verse 17. When the Pharisees questioned him regarding the kingdom of God that would come, he said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." Well, I think I'd like to turn to that. You can turn with me there to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" The kingdom of God is within you. Is it no wonder there's so much confusion about this subject referred to as a kingdom? There are four questions that I'd like to answer for you today concerning the kingdom of God. The first one is, what is the kingdom of God? Does anybody have any thoughts? Any comments? What is the kingdom of God? Anyone else? The word kingdom refers to two things. It refers to a territory and the ruling authority of God. Our Lord is the sovereign ruler over everything in heaven and on earth. He reigns over us, and we are part of his kingdom. In Psalms 46, 2 through 6, we read that earlier. When Jesus said that the kingdom of God was at hand, that it was in their midst, what do you think he was referring to? The kingdom of God has come nigh to you. Think about this. Jesus is the king, remember? Remember they put it over the cross? He's the king. Pilate said, "Art thou a king?" They call you a king. "Art thou a king?" He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my angels would come and fight for me. But my kingdom is not of this world." But Jesus was indeed a king. His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. But the kingdom that's talked about in Matthew, the one that's referred to in the Lord's Prayer, is the physical kingdom that will come. That's the millennial kingdom. That is when the Lord will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will rule forever. That kingdom is the one that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. But Jesus was indeed a king, and he had a kingdom. And that's why he said, the kingdom has come nigh to you, referring to himself. He was the kingdom. And the kingdom has come nigh to you. But if the Pharisees would have really studied the scriptures, as they should have, they would have realized that he was the king of a spiritual kingdom. And they need not look for another. Remember, he said, he reminded them many times, study the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, that these things must be fulfilled. And if you would have studied the scriptures, you would have knew that my kingdom is not of this world. The Jews had rejected him. He was crucified by the Romans. But I can tell you that his kingdom did not fail, but his kingdom was set up in the hearts of those who trusted and believed in him. There are two kingdoms that's in operation in this world. The dominion of darkness is one, and the kingdom of God's Son is the other. Colossians 1 and 13. There are many in the realm of darkness today. They're in bondage to sin, and they live under Satan's authority. Of which kingdom do you belong? I trust that you belong to the kingdom of our dear Lord, and not the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness. Are you a member of the kingdom of light? It is this kingdom that our dear Lord is kingdom. He came to rescue those who are in darkness and to transfer them to his kingdom. The second question is, how do you enter God's kingdom? Jesus came to bear the sins of all mankind on the cross and to suffer that punishment so that we may learn to trust in him. It was his payment for our sins. And today, we can be forgiven. Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins today? At the very moment that you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you are taken out of the realm of darkness and you are transferred into God's kingdom. Jesus explained it this way. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Remember when he was talking to Nicodemus who came to him at night in John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 3? The Lord said, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. What Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about was the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. He had to be born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus thought he was had to talking about physical birth. He said, how is it that we can go into our mother's womb a second time? No. You're born physically in this world, but you must have a spiritual birth. You must have the Holy Spirit and be born of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes when you accept Jesus as your Savior. The Holy Spirit accompanies salvation. You see, in our sinful condition, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. And so we must be made into a new creature, a new creation, new hearts and new spirits. There will be believers from all over the world that will be a part of this kingdom of light. And they'll be made up of those all over the world that we refer to the universal church. Those of people all over the world that have asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart and life. They are members of that universal church. The third question I'd like to answer for you is, once we become citizens, how are we to be involved? What are we to do? What are we supposed to be doing? Are we going to just occupy here and wait for Jesus to call us home? Not so. This world is not our home, so don't drive those 10 stakes too deep. We shouldn't adopt the world's values or practices. It is a domain of darkness. Our King is Christ Jesus, and he told us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. How do we do that? We do it by submitting to his authority. We live according to the biblical principles, and we seek to grow in his love and in his knowledge. And as his people, our hope is not in this life, but it is an imperishable inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us. And many of our loved ones are enjoying that very now, this very hour. They're enjoying that. And then lastly, the fourth question I'd like to answer for you is, what's our responsibility to those who are not in this kingdom, who are in the kingdom of darkness? You see, Jesus didn't leave us here to just pass time until he brings us to heaven. He entrusted us with a message to proclaim. And you can see that message with me. It's called the Great Commission. It's found in the last verse and last chapter of the book of Matthew, referred to as that Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Sometimes people say, well, why do we got to go to other countries and nations? Here's your answer. This is why. Jesus said we have to go. We need to go. It is our responsibility to go. I know lots of things people can bring up and say, I think we should take care of the problems we have around this area. Oh, well, I happen to agree with that. In fact, I can give you the scripture that if that's the board meeting that you was in attendance, let me read the scripture that should be read at that board meeting. I'll get it here in a minute. This is the scripture that should have been read. Yes, we are to go. And here's, I think, the big mistake that we make. We start going to the world and try to take care of the world's problems, and we don't take care of the problems here. You're listening to me? You see, when you don't take care of the problems here, that will give the enemy a chance to speak very loudly. It has to start here. This is where it needs to start. And it tells you that in the book of Acts. I've just got there. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. The witness starts here where we live. Forget about Africa and all the other places of the world. It starts here. Here's where it starts. Right here in our home, right here in our church, right here in our community. It's hard to talk and preach the gospel when there's people in your own church that are starving and having problems, and you're trying to feed those in Haiti. Are you listening to me? They're not going to accept the gospel when you do it out of kilter. That's out of kilter. That's not according to the scriptures. It starts at home. Maybe you're a small church, you don't have a lot of money. It starts at home. A couple bucks here, a couple bucks there to help somebody in your community. That's how it starts. And as the church grows, then the scripture says, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's not rocket science. That's pretty easy to understand. It starts like a wheel hub. It starts here. And then as you grow, you can help more places and more people. And that's what it's talking about. That is our responsibility, to go, as the scripture says, into all the world. And I'm thankful as a church that we have many missionaries that our church supports, and we're able to help many places beyond Samaria and beyond Judea, and we're into the othermost parts of the world. I'm glad that we're able to do that. Not all churches are able to, but it's my prayer that they would be able to. You see, that's our responsibility, to take the gospel of salvation to the world. One by one, God will add those who should be saved and put into his kingdom. It's our job to point the way. Are you pointing the way today by telling those what Jesus has done in your life? Are you pointing the way? People say, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe that. Well, I can tell you what you can believe. I can give you my testimony. I can tell you that God's done some wonderful things for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Would you let me pray with you? And I'll guarantee you, he'll be a believer. because God's word does not return void. It's quick, it's powerful, and it's alive. Are you reaching somebody? Are you sharing with somebody? Are you helping them to find the way? Disciples making disciples. That's what we are. We're disciples making disciples. That's part of what God has, that was the direction, and that's the plan that God has planned for us. Disciples making disciples. We don't have any power to save anyone, but we do have the truth. And God can use that truth to open the minds and the hard hearts to believe in him. It's our responsibility to be faithful and use every opportunity that God has provided for us. His love is so wonderful. All his love is so precious. Do you feel his love today? Are you sharing his love to someone else that needs to feel his love as well? Right now, we're living in an age of grace. God is calling more and more people into his kingdom. This is a spiritual realm, but I can tell you that one day it will become a physical realm. When Jesus returns, and he'll set up his glorious kingdom on earth. And this is what we are asking God to do each time we pray, when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There will be a day when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. So until then, let's be faithful. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come in and to live in my heart. I want to live for you from this day forward. I want to be transferred from this kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And Lord, from this day forward, I want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And I know that all the other things will be added on. Father, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for the opportunity to share your precious word. Thank you for these dear brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord, that there's something, Lord, in this word that has touched their hearts today. And if you're listening by internet, I pray that there was something in the message that has spoken to your heart as well. And I pray for you that God's will be done in your life as well. And Lord, it's time for us to go home to our homes. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to be with each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.